being away from you, had a good gospel meeting, as far as I was concerned. At least they didn't ask me not to come back again until it was over. And so that was positive. But I missed being here. I can look at this audience that we have. And I'm talking about the members of this congregation, those that I know. And I can start up front, and I can work around, and I can see those that have had issues and are having issues in their life. I know of the physical problems that many of you have in your life. I know of the health issues that you have in your life. I know of conditions that exist that are of a physical nature that exist in your life. I know of loss that exist that has happened recently. I know of things that are coming up in your life as the letter was read earlier. I recognize the tribulation and trial in this congregation. I recognize that in this congregation, although we are not many, there are still trials and tribulations that we all go through in this life. I recognize that. And I think that each and every one of us recognize that. And I think that just as Brother Darrell has mentioned oftentimes, that his list continues to grow as far as prayers are concerned for those that are in need in this congregation. And I believe that if we're honest, we also have to recognize that there are those that have spiritual need in this life. But also that there are those, and I could start on this front of the building, this side of the building over here, and I could go all the way around, and in all of those issues that are out there, I know of the blessings that have taken place, the health issues that have come up, those that have gone into surgery that have found issues that have been caught just in time, a widowmaker, an F2 tornado that left everything in shambles except a life, conditions that exist, a mother that is about to go into the hospital to protect a child, one child being left outside the hospital that has been saved. And I could just go on and on. A brother that is carrying an air tank with him so that he can continue to be with us. And again, just go on and on. Every one of us have problems, but also every one of us have great blessings. Great blessings that come from God. And I want to urge us in this message this morning to focus on those blessings. We have so many things that take place that might get us down in this life. So many things that happen. And I will tell you, there are families that are going through a whole lot in this congregation. And it just seems to be piled upon piled problems and so forth that takes place. But if we're really honest, there are also the great blessings that exist. And the greatest blessings of all are those that are not seen. And those are the ones that we really need to recognize, because those are the greatest of all. Those are the greatest blessings of all. And I want us to, as we think about this, on the focusing of the blessings that we really have, the true blessings that exist, recognize what this life really is, because the promise that we have of the blessings that come from God is not about this life. It's not about the existence here upon this earth. Job 14, chapter verse 1 and 2. Statement is made there, man who is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. The promise that has been given by God with connection of the blessings that has been given to us is not about the here and now. It's not about the physical. It's not about the carnal. It's not about a continued existence here upon this earth. It's not about those things. It's not about merchandise. It's not about things here upon this earth. It's not about a continued life here upon this earth. No matter what our religious friends say, it's not about a continued life. It's not about a 1,000-year reign. It's not about those things at all. But rather it is something that is greater than that. And that's really where our focus has to be. When we start focusing upon the issues, the problems that are here and now, we have a tendency to forget about the true blessings that really come about. We, of course, remember back to Job's trouble. When we look in Job's first chapter, verses 13 through 19, it says there, "There was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house," that is, the sons and daughters of Job. "And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came in and said, 'The fire of God,'" that was his determination, and certainly not the truth. God does not send evil. We see where it comes from, and that certainly comes from Satan. "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly there was a great wind, a tornado, that came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" And we understand, as we look at this, that this is not a normal situation that takes place in the lives of people. Remember, and we'll look back in just a moment, that Satan had said to God, "You've built a hedge around Job." And someone might say, well, why did God ever even say to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Why did he bring him into the limelight in the first place? And I'll submit to you that Job was already in Satan's crosshairs. He already had determination, consideration of Job. And that's what this was about. And here was bad news upon bad news upon bad news upon bad news that came. And destruction and loss on the part of Job. And it could be that Job would have focused on nothing but loss in this situation. As a matter of fact, when we look at this, as far as possessions, including family, the only one that is left in connection with family is his wife. That is all that is left. He has no more possessions. We're going to see, of course, he was a great man as far as the material possessions were concerned. And the only one left him was his wife. None others. And we're going to also see what it was that he was truly blessed in. And I believe there's recognition on Job's part of that particular fact. In Job, the second chapter, verse 7 through 10, "Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." This is, again, the second time that Satan comes to the Lord and says, "Put him in my hand and he will curse you to the face." "And he took for himself a potsherd and with which to scrape himself, which he set in the midst of ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." I've mentioned to you in the past, when I've used this passage of Scripture in other lessons, that in my younger days, as a young man, I used to really chide Job's wife in the things that she said. And as I've looked at it in later years, you have to recognize, at least I recognize, that here is a woman that has lost every one of her children. And she's lost her man. In essence, she has lost her man. The one that is her head. The one that has the ability to care for her. She has lost him. She has no possessions. She has no family. She has no protector whatsoever. And she is in dire straits. And she is in great stress. And she is despondent. And Job certainly retains his integrity. He does that. And he tells her how it should be. We should not curse God and die. We should not do that. And we should not charge God foolishly whatsoever. And he recognizes, even though trouble now has come, that we understand that adversity comes about in life, even though in the situation it is very pronounced in his life, this adversity that has happened to him. It's extremely pronounced. But you see, Job's true blessings, which he recognized, really were the things that were not seen, but rather they were unseen. When we look in Job, the first chapter, verse 2 and 3, it says, "And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people on the earth." And people would look at him, they would understand, this man is greatly blessed. But yet, that is not the greatest blessing that Job had. That's the way that people look at blessing, by the things that are seen. But that's not the greatest blessing that Job had. And it says here, in Job the first chapter in verse 1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil." It was his attitude toward God and in conduct of life that was his greatest blessing. That was the greatest blessing that he had. In Job the first chapter, verses 6 through 8, it says there, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" Stop right there. Here you have another of the greatest blessings that Job could have possibly had, and that is the confidence that he has from God himself. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Let me ask." And he says that again a second time in the second chapter in verse 3. Would that be what God says about us? Would that be the words that God says about us? I'll tell you, that is a great blessing to have that confidence that God would say about us that, "Have you considered my servant?" and then our name be inserted. That is a great blessing. In Job, the 42nd chapter, verse 7 through 9, after all the iterations from all the different friends and even Job begins to question a little bit the integrity of God all through the book of Job. It comes down to this, because Job did not sin with his lips against God. It says, beginning then in verse 7, "And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, and Job then understood what the truth was, that God is not unjust, that things happen in this life. God is not the cause of evil. God is the giver of that which is good. He said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.'" And there you have another great blessing. Job spoke good of God. "Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. He shall be your intermediary." There's another great blessing that was placed upon Job. "For I will accept him, not you, because you have charged me unjustly, but not my servant Job, lest I deal with you to your folly, because you have spoken of me what is you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. For the Lord had not accepted what they had said, but he accepted what Job has said." There you have that great blessing. And it's something that came about because of the attitude and the conduct of Job. There was not folly in his action. And he looked at his condition and situation and still looked to God. and recognize the true blessings. Our true blessings are in the things also that are not seen. And we need to realize that. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3 through 6, a portion of the reading that Wayman gave for us this morning, I want to use that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, our blessings that are not seen is in the way that we conduct ourselves so that we bless God for what it is that we have. And it is not necessarily the things that we see. And he says this, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He doesn't say with houses, with cars, with bank accounts. He doesn't say that. He says with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. By the means of Christ Jesus. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That is by the plan of redemption that had been made before the world was ever founded. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, those that are obedient to God's will, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons, not individual predestination, but predestination unto that plan of redemption. By Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of God's will, not our own. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved, not that we accept Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, as the mantra of the world is, but rather we become accepted by Him. There you have the blessings that are not seen. It is that which is spiritual. The ones that we must recognize. We don't look at the loss, we look at the gain. We don't look at what we don't have, we look at what we do have. We don't look at what others have, we look at what has been given to us. There you have the true blessings, and the focus must be upon those things. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter and verse 18, Paul says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, that's not the focus. That's not the focus. As a matter of fact, quite often that is the distraction that takes place in the world today. As a matter of fact, not only can it be a distraction, it can be that which deludes our minds because we have possessions. We have blessings in that sense of that which is temporal. We may think that we're okay when really we have fallen short. It can be that distraction. It can be a falsehood. While we look at the things which are not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They are temporal. They will vanish away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Some of you are not old enough to remember 2008. If you had any money in IRAs, it went to nearly nothing. It went to nearly nothing. And it can turn just like that. And we are living in some perilous times as far as finances are concerned because of someone that can hiccup in Russia and Ukraine right now and cause all kinds of trouble. We don't know, and those cannot be counted on. Our finances cannot be counted on. But what we can count on are the things that are not seen, and that is from Christ Jesus and from the God of heaven that has given us the true blessings that we must keep our focus on. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 18 through 20, that by two immutable things, that is, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that is His oath and His promise, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. There you have that great blessing from God, the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And I'll show you, as it says right here, which is even Jesus Christ. He is the anchor for us. Because He is at work for us, because we see Him no longer here upon this earth. Just as a physical anchor, as we are out on the ocean of life, if we see that anchor, it is not working. But once it goes below the waters of trouble and trial, it's going to work at that time, and Christ Jesus is at work for us now as mediator, intercessor, and advocate. Because we see Him no longer, He is in the heavens. But that doesn't mean He's not at work. He is the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. And he is in the heavens working for us. That is a great blessing. But I'll tell you what, sometimes blessings can be abused. I want you to think on this. Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 1 through 4. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest." David, at that time, he was running for his life, and his men were running for their lives from Saul, who would not abdicate the throne as God had wished. And here they were famished, they were about to starve, and God made exception in this case for them to eat the showbread, which was only for the priests to receive. They took it, and the Lord uses that account as a blessing. Had they continued from that point forward in an extenuating circumstance to continue to eat the showbread every time that they were hungry, that would have been abuse of blessing. Here is the application, and I want you to understand it from the standpoint of this lesson, and that is we are not to abuse the blessings that we receive. Back in 2020, when COVID hit, and the elders of this congregation, out of caution for this congregation, set up Zoom so that we could continue to be able to meet, to study with one another, to have interaction with one another. Comments could be made. Our members could have interaction. We could do that until a period of time which they determined then we would come back and then meet together. It was an extenuating circumstance for the time that is present. If you remember, during that period of time, I warned, we cannot let this become an abuse whenever the time is over of the danger. We must come back to the building and do the Lord's will. Let me tell you, and I'm saying this out of love, there are some that are abusing this situation. Let me be very clear, there are some online today that are abusing this situation right now. I'm not talking about those that are sick, truly sick, but I'm talking about those that are using it out of convenience sake because they are not having to get up and get dressed and get ready. They're sitting on their couch, no telling what in the world they're doing, petting their animals, sitting in their leisurely clothes, not making any effort to get up to come and serve God here at the building with their brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and you stand in jeopardy for doing that. I say that out of love, but you're not putting forth the effort to come and serve your God and to be with your brethren. And again, I say it out of love. It cannot continue. We have true shut-ins and people in certain situations that are truly sick that should not be here and cannot be here this morning. Others of you are abusing the situation. And out of love, it must stop. Serving God is not from the standpoint of convenience. Every service in connection with serving God is from the standpoint of sacrifice. It must be sacrifice. And so Paul says in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Sitting at home in your leisure and not having to lift a finger other than turning on the computer or your phone is not reasonable. "And be not conformed to this world," because they're doing it out in the world out of convenience, "but be ye transformed by the renewing, by the renovation of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is not out of meanness, it is out of love that I present this. Because you see, a great blessing was given us during that time of COVID, where we could continue to meet and to worship together. And we must not abuse the blessing. You see, extenuating circumstances never set a precedent. They never did in Scripture. Hezekiah, his life was extended. He was asked, "How would you like to have the sign to give to you to show you that that is true? Let the sundial go back 10 degrees and I will know." And it did. And even though time went backwards 10 degrees, time doesn't go backwards anymore. Joshua asked the Lord in the valley of Ajalon, "Let the sun stand still," and stood still for 23 hours and some odd minutes. And it doesn't stand still anymore. David ate of the showbread, and it did not set a precedent. He ate of it no more. And so Zoom is not to be used and abused. It is for extenuating circumstances. So for those that are using it and abusing it, come back. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God and recognize the blessings. The time is over for you to be away. Focus on the blessings that you have. I say it out of love. I say it out of concern for your souls. Boy, you're away for a few days and then you come back and give a lesson like this. From love, I do. Sometimes preachers need to be like Paul when he was in Athens. My spirit was stirred, just as his was in Athens. And he looked all around him and he saw idolatry. And dear brothers and sisters, those that are abusing Zoom, it's your idol. And my spirit is stirred. Focus on the true blessings. Matthew 6:19-21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure upon in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure, where your heart is, there is your treasure." If it's on things of this earth, you've missed it. You've missed recognizing the true blessings. You've missed it. And all of those things are going to be done away with. You have totally missed it. Luke, the 12th chapter, you're just like that rich farmer. "What shall I do? I shall tear down my barns. I shall build bigger. I shall do this. I shall do that. I. Thou fool. This night thy soul is required of thee." Why? Because our life is as a vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes away, just as James says. You can't count on this life, but you can count on the blessings that come from God. The ones that aren't seen. Focus on those true blessings and not on those that are seen. Come on forward up here and help me get this thing set up, please. I'm totally out of practice. Brethren, this congregation is so blessed. We have two good elders that shepherd this flock. And I will tell you, they are concerned for our souls. They come from time to time and they tell me what to preach. They know of issues in this congregation. They say, "Bring lessons on this, on that. Use this topic or that topic in our classes. Do that." We are so blessed because we have such good students of God's Word. There is such love in this congregation. There's outpouring that takes place for those that are going through trials and tribulation. We have a wonderful congregation. And there's protection that is here, not only from the elders, but from each and every one of us. And again, this lesson is presented out of love for each and every one of us that have gone through trials and tribulations, that continue to do so. And it's from that love that it is presented. And I'll tell you to keep quiet about the things that we need to focus on, to not mention the things that we need to focus on, even the negative that we presented, is not preaching from a standpoint of love. It is allowing the danger to continue. There may be those here this morning that are not children of God. This is out of love also. Your soul is in danger. If the Lord decided to return right now, you were not a child of God, you have rejected and rebelled against His will, you've not rendered obedience to Him, your soul is in jeopardy, you're not a child of God, you're without hope because you have followed the prince of the power of the air, as Paul says in Ephesians 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3. But you can have the greatest blessing of all. That is the mercy of God, verse 4 of Ephesians 2. By rendering obedience to Him through faith with a penitent attitude, naming the name of Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins. What? There is not a greater blessing than to be a child of God. And then look what He does for you. Not only are you a child of God, you become a son of God. Not only are you a son of God, you become brothers with Him that died for you, a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8 chapter verses 14 through 17. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared with the joys the glories that will follow thereafter, Paul says. Those of us that are children of God, are we serving Him? I'll put that in quotation marks. Out of our ease, out of our comfort, or out of our sacrifice? There's only one answer. We really can't serve Him except out of our sacrifice. If you've not been doing so, ask forgiveness of your sins. You have brothers and sisters here that care for you, will pray for you. Petition God on your behalf. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. If there are those that we can help in any way, those that want to focus on the true blessings, won't you come as we stand and sing?